आकाशवाणी प्रेजेंट्स मॉर्निंग न्यूज। गुड मॉर्निंग, आई एम अभिषेक मुखोपाध्याय। द हेडलाइंस। इलेक्शन कमीशन टू पब्लिश ड्राफ्ट SIR इलेक्टोरल रोल ऑफ उत्तर प्रदेश टुडे। यूनियन मिनिस्टर ऑफ कॉर्पोरेशन अमित शाह टू इनॉग्रेट नेशनल CSR कॉन्क्लेव ऑफ NDDB फाउंडेशन फॉर न्यूट्रिशन एट विज्ञान भवन इन न्यू दिल्ली टुडे। Supreme Court direct center to decide on EPFO wage ceiling revision within 4 months. German Chancellor Friedrich Merz to pay first official visit to India on the 12th of January. Atrocities against minorities continue in Bangladesh. A Hindu businessman shot dead and a woman allegedly gang raped. Iran's nationwide protest enters 10th day. US President Donald Trump warns of supporting demonstrators if violence escalates. And in badminton, Olympic medalist PV Sindhu set to return in action at Malaysia Open 2026 beginning today in Kuala Lumpur. The Election Commission of India will publish the draft voter list for Uttar Pradesh today following the ongoing SIR process. The draft electoral roll was initially scheduled for publication on the 31st of December. Chief Electoral Officer of Uttar Pradesh, Navdeep Rinwa, had informed that the period for receiving claims and objections has been set from today to the 6th of next month. After the publication of the draft electoral roll, citizens will have 1 month to submit claims and objections. The decision on the claims and objections will be resolved during the notice phase between 6th of January to 27th of February. The final publication of the electoral roll of Uttar Pradesh will be done on the 6th of March. He said that the all enumeration forms have been received and digitized. Union Minister of Home Affairs and Corporation Amit Shah will inaugurate the CSR conclave titled Role of Corporate Social Responsibility in Nutrition Security and Malnutrition Mitigation at Vigyan Bhavan in New Delhi today. The objective of the conclave is to deliberate upon collaborative, innovative and sustainable strategies to combat malnutrition among children. The event has been organized by the National Dairy Development Board, NDDB. During the conclave, Mr. Shah will launch the third phase of the Gift Milk program under the Corporate Social Responsibility CSR initiative of SAIL Bhilai Steel Plant, Chhattisgarh. Under this initiative, around 4,000 children studying in government schools located in the mining areas of the Bhilai Steel Plant will benefit. On the occasion, Union Minister for Fisheries, Animal Husbandry and Dairying and Panchayati Raj Rajiv Ranjan Singh and Union Minister for Women and Child Development Annapurna Devi will also participate. Union Education Minister Dharmendra Pradhan will release 41 literary works developed by the Centres of Excellence for Classical Kannada, Telugu, Malayalam and Uriya in New Delhi today. The works are developed under the Central Institute of Indian Languages. The event will also mark the release of 13 books along with 45-episode sign language interpretation series of the Tirukural by the Central Institute of Classical Tamil. In a social media post, the Minister of Education said that this initiative reflects the sustained commitment to strengthening classical language studies and preserving India's rich literary heritage. The Supreme Court has directed the central government and the Employees Provident Fund Organization, EPFO, to decide within 4 months on revising the wage ceiling under the Employees Provident Fund Scheme, EPFS, which has remained unchanged for the past 11 years. A bench of Justices J.K. Maheshwari and Atul S. Chandurkar passed the directions while hearing a public interest litigation, PIL, highlighting that the stagnant wage ceiling has resulted in a large section of workers being excluded from the ambit of the EPFO, a social welfare scheme intended to provide social security to employees in the organized sector. Chancellor of Germany Friedrich Merz will pay an official visit to India on the 12th and 13th of January at the invitation of Prime Minister Narendra Modi. This will be Chancellor Merz's first official visit to India. External Affairs Ministry said in a statement that on the visit, he'll be travelling to Ahmedabad and Bengaluru. Prime Minister will receive Chancellor Merz on the 12th of January in Ahmedabad. The two leaders will take stock of the progress made in diverse aspects of India-Germany strategic partnership, which completed 25 years last year. The discussion will also focus on further intensifying cooperation in various sectors. Prime Minister Modi and Chancellor Merz will also engage with business and industry leaders and exchange views on issues of regional and global importance. External Affairs Minister Dr. S. Jaishankar interacted with participants of the French Indian Young Talents Program by the Chamber of Commerce and Industry, France, India and Paris. In a social media post, Dr. Jaishankar said he discussed the transformations underway in the world and the importance of India-France collaboration in that context. The minister also met Executive Director of International Energy Agency, Fiti Birol, and appreciated his assessment of the global energy scenario and his support for India's growth and development. During his visit, Dr. Jaishankar will meet the French leadership in Paris and hold talks with his counterpart, Jean-Noël Barrot. They will discuss the progress made under the India-France strategic partnership and matters of global importance. Dr. Jaishankar will also address the 31st edition of the French Ambassadors Conference as the guest of honour. In the second leg of his visit, External Affairs Minister will visit Luxembourg. Delhi government has signed a Memorandum of Understanding, MOU, with the Reserve Bank of India, bringing the national capital under the RBI's full banking, cash management and debt framework for the first time. In a statement, Delhi Chief Minister's office said that the MOU enables the RBI to function as the banker, debt manager and financial agent of the government of Delhi. It said that the MOU will facilitate market borrowings through state development loans, automatic investment of surplus cash, professional cash management and access to low-cost liquidity facilities. This is Akashvani giving you the news. For quick news updates around the clock, follow us on X handle at AIR News Alerts. And for details of stories and more, log on to our website www.newsonair.gov.in and download News on AIR app. In Bangladesh, atrocities against minorities continue as a Hindu businessman was shot dead in public by unidentified assailants in Monirampur Upazila of Jessore last evening, triggering panic in the area and raising fresh concerns over law and order ahead of the elections. The victim was identified as Rana Kanti Bairagi, alias Rana Pratap, son of Tushar Kanti Bairagi of Aruwa village in neighbouring Keshapur Upazila. The 45-year-old victim owned an ice-making factory at Kapilia Bazaar, where the incident took place around 5:45 p.m. yesterday. Rana Pratap also served as acting editor of Narayal-based daily BD Khobar. In another incident, a Hindu woman has alleged that she was gang-raped, tied to a tree and brutally tortured in Kaliganj Upazila in Jhinaidah district. According to police, the victim, a widow, also claimed that her hair was cut and a video of the abuse was recorded and shared on social media. The police said the woman filed a case with Kaliganj police station yesterday, naming four people, including two men and two women, as accused. One of the accused, Hassan, has been arrested while efforts are underway to detain the remaining suspects, identified as Shahinur Islam, Rupali Khatun and Musamat Mukta. Iran is witnessing its most serious wave of unrest in 3 years as nationwide protests enter the 10th day. Security forces have tightened their presence across major cities, even as U.S. President Donald Trump warned that he could side with demonstrators if violence escalates. The protests were triggered by the sharp collapse of the Iranian rial, and surging inflation have spread from Tehran's Grand Bazaar to more than 220 locations across at least 78 cities in up to 31 provinces. Iranian officials have acknowledged that the U.S. warning, reinforced by Washington's recent seizure of Venezuela's president, Nicolas Maduro, has complicated efforts to contain the demonstrations. Reports say Iran's Supreme National Security Council held an emergency meeting to review security tactics and contingency plans. While President Masoud Pezeshkian has called for restraint and dialogue, Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei has urged firm action against rioters. We have a report.
Iran's leadership is now trying to balance dialogue with preparations for a tougher crackdown. Officials fear that prolonged unrest could destabilize key provinces and affect major trade routes. The judiciary has taken a firm position, with its chief declaring no leniency and ordering prosecutors to act strongly against the rioters, while saying that the states will still distinguish between peaceful protesters and those causing violence. The unrest is being driven by a deepening economic crisis. Iran's currency has lost nearly half of its value over the past 1 year, while inflation has grown lost 40%. This has reduced household incomes and increased public anger, especially among the traders, students and workers. What began as a protest over the economy in late December has now turned political, with crowds openly calling for a change in the leadership. Tensions have also risen because of warnings from Washington. West Asia remains on the edge after months of confrontation between Iran, Israel and the United States. United States President Donald Trump has said he is ready to act if violence against protesters increases, while Israeli officials have publicly supported the demonstrations, adding to Iran's security concerns. This is Vinod Kumar for Akashvani News from Dubai.
Prime Minister's flagship platform for proactive governance and timely implementation, Pragati, has marked a significant milestone with the successful conduct of its 50th meeting. Since its launch by Prime Minister Narendra Modi in 2015, Pragati has transformed governance by enabling real-time monitoring and resolution of key infrastructure projects and public grievances through direct prime ministerial review. Today, in this special series, we take a look at Mission Amrit Sarovar, which aims to construct and rejuvenate water bodies across the country.
The Mission Amrit Sarovar, launched in 2022, is a flagship initiative to construct and rejuvenate 75 water bodies in each district across the country. Each Amrit Sarovar is designed to have a pondage area of minimum of 1 acre with a water holding capacity of about 10,000 cubic meters. The progress of Mission Amrit Sarovar was regularly reviewed at the national level through Pragati, bringing together senior officials from central ministries, state governments and district administrations on a single digital platform. This has enabled faster decision-making and effective resolution of issues such as land availability, interdepartmental coordination, and release of funds. Joint Secretary in the Department of Rural Development, Rohini Bhaji Bhakre, said that reviews of projects through Pragati by Prime Minister Narendra Modi significantly strengthen coordination among all ministries.
Prime Minister always lays emphasis on the role of the government as well as the role of the nation. So according to that, more than 68,000 Amrit Sarovars have been made in the country. Also, the reviews of the projects through Pragati by Prime Minister significantly strengthens coordination among all the ministries.
Under the scheme, the target was to construct 50,000 Amrit Sarovars by 15th August 2023. However, due to rapid progress following Pragati intervention, the work gained significant momentum and over 68,800 Amrit Sarovars have been completed so far across the country. The mission has made a significant contribution to addressing water scarcity and has played an important role in enhancing both surface and groundwater availability in various regions. With Dipendra Kumar, Suparna Saikya, Akashvani News, Delhi.
In badminton, Olympic medalist PV Sindhu set to return in action at Malaysia Open 2026, beginning today at Kuala Lumpur. The season opener top-tier BWF Super 1000 tournament will mark a fresh start for Sindhu after an injury-hit 2025 campaign. Indian Women's Singles Challenge in Kuala Lumpur will also feature Malvika Bansor and Unnati Hooda. In the Men's Singles Paris 2024 semi-finalists, Lakshya Sen and Ayush Shetty will carry Indian hopes. And now for a look at today's newspapers, it's over to Tanvi Khurana.
Thank you, Abhishek. Prime Minister to pay tribute at Somnath Temple on 11th of January, reports the Asian Age. The Hindu quotes U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio as saying, United States won't govern Venezuela but will press for changes through embargo. Supreme Court denies Umar and Sharjeel bail in 2020 Delhi riots case, leads Hindustan Times. BSF secures chicken's neck with new design fencing amid unrest in Bangladesh, reports the Tribune. Broadcast of all IPL 2026 matches suspended in Bangladesh, informs the Statesman. And finally, Timothée Chalamet boosts Oscar bid with Critics' Choice Award for his performance in Marty Supreme, in which he plays a table tennis champion consumed by his own ambition, reports Economic Times. And with that, it's back to you, Abhishek.
Thank you, Tanvi. And now, before we end the bulletin, the headlines once again. Election Commission to publish draft SIR electoral roll of Uttar Pradesh today. Union Minister of Corporation Amit Shah to inaugurate National CSR Conclave of NDDB Foundation for Nutrition at Vigyan Bhavan in New Delhi today. Supreme Court directs Centre to decide on EPFO wage ceiling revision within 4 months. German Chancellor Friedrich Merz to pay first official visit to India on the 12th of January. Atrocities against minorities continue in Bangladesh. A Hindu businessman shot dead and a woman allegedly gang-raped. Iran's nationwide protests enter 10 today. US President Donald Trump warns of supporting demonstrators if violence escalates. And in badminton, Olympic medalist PV Sindhu set to return in action at Malaysia Open 2026, beginning today in Kuala Lumpur. And with that, we end the morning news. Have a nice day.